going to read together from Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, and it's on page 1173 if you've got a Bible on the way in. And I'm going to read from verse 15. And in these verses, we have Paul speaking to the church in Ephesus, and he's going to tell them what he prays for them. Ephesians 1, verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen. As we are now into 2026, I wonder what kind of year this is going to be for us spiritually. What kind of year is it going to be for us in our walk with Jesus Christ? Whether we are at the beginning or whether we have been walking for a while. What kind of year is it going to be for us as individuals, as we seek to grow in our faith, wherever we are in our faith? But also, what kind of year is it going to be for us as a church, as a church family, as we seek to be God's people in this community, brothers and sisters together? Paul, in these verses, is writing from, most probably from a prison cell, and he's writing to a church community that was meeting in Ephesus. And this was a community that he knew well, because he'd been a leader there, and he had spent time there. He'd worshipped with them, he'd prayed with them, he'd led them. And after telling them that he gives thanks for them, and that he gives thanks for their love and for their faith, their love for one another, their love for their community, their love for God, but also their faith, their trust in Jesus Christ, after giving thanks for this, he tells them what he is praying for them. What he prays will be seen in their lives. What he is seeking God, that God would do in their lives. And it's a prayer that we can make our own as we think about 2026. So what do I want to learn? What do I want to see in 2026 when it comes to my faith, when it comes to our walk with Jesus Christ? And in the prayer, there are three things. There are three things that Paul prays that the church would know. Three things that he wants the church, that he prays that the church would know. And the first thing is that he prays that that they would know God better. So he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. There's a big difference between a married couple on their wedding day and a married couple when they've been married 20, 30, 60 years later. What's the difference? Well, the difference is that they look a lot older. Yeah? You saw some of the photos on there, yeah, just from 2 years ago. They look older, but there's a difference also in that they know one another better. They don't go on their wedding day, right, we're married, we don't need to get to know each other any better, let's just do our own separate thing. We don't need to spend time with each other really all that much. No, we're sorted. No, what happens is that you continue to get to know each other. You grow in your relationship and you find that there's stuff that you didn't quite know. And as time goes on, they get to know each other more and more. And it leads to perhaps one knowing what the other is thinking, even without them saying anything or even showing it on their face. They just know because they know each other. And when we become Christians, we aren't to stand still in our relationship with God. No, we're to grow in our knowledge of him. We are to get to know him better. To get to know him intimately as our Father and as our friend. And we're to get to know Jesus, God in the flesh, and to see more of him and of what he means to us and of how he might touch our lives. And that is what Paul prays for the people. I pray that you would get to know God better. And to do this, we need God's help. We need him to give us the spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit who comes into our lives and to reveal himself to us so that as we read his word day by day or week by week, as we gather as a church fellowship, on a Sunday morning or in our home groups or with other people, as we pray together, as we meet with others, that something happens. We get to know God better. And it's not just a head knowledge thing. Oh, I know more about the Bible now. That's important. But it's getting to know the Bible and through God's word, getting to know him better. So that we know more of his greatness, more of his love, more of his compassion, more of what he has planned for our lives and for our world, and more of him speaking to us into our lives. Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus, and he's saying to us, don't rest content with where you are in your relationship with God. Seek to know him more. Seek to know him better. Grow deeper in your relationship with him. And as we do so, then we'll be on firmer ground. We'll know that security of knowing him. Paul says, that is what I pray for you. I pray that you'll know God better. Maybe 2026 is the year where you really get serious about, I'm going to get to know God. Paul doesn't say, I want to pray, I pray that God, you know God better. But he also says, I want you to know, I pray that you would know the hope and the inheritance that you have in Christ. I pray, he says, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. What is this hope to which they have been called and which we are being called? What is this glorious inheritance that he wants us to know? Well, what he's talking about here is all that we have been given by God and offered by him. All that we have in Christ and through Christ. And it's actually stuff that he's already spoken about in the letter. And you can read about it all in the first 14 verses that we didn't read earlier on. But what he's done in these verses is that he has described for the people what they have in Jesus Christ, who they are as God's people. And so he's described there, he talks of how they have been blessed in the heavenly realms. He talks there of how they have been chosen since before the creation of the world to be holy and to be blameless, to be God's people. He's spoken there of how they have been adopted as his children, that they are not nobodies to God, but they're actually his sons and daughters. He's adopted them into his family. He speaks there of how they are loved. Here is love vast as the ocean. And he speaks of how they have in Christ been forgiven and of how that grace has been lavished on them, poured out abundantly. And he speaks in these verses also about having the Holy Spirit. He says, you're not just chosen since before the creation of the world. You're not just loved. You're not just forgiven. You're not just adopted as his children. But he's given you his Spirit to as a seal to your faith. A Spirit who lives within you and who guides you and helps you. But as well as that, he speaks of how they have a glorious inheritance. That is, that they are children of his, and as children of his, they have something to look forward to. A day when there'll be a new heavens and a new earth. A day when the wars and the conflicts and the uncertainty that we know all about at these times will be over. And this was their hope. This was their inheritance. This is who they are. This is what they've been given by God. And this is what they have to look forward to. This is their security. And he prays that they would know this, that they would know this hope, that they would know this glorious inheritance. That they would know and be encouraged by who they are as Christians and who they are in Christ, who has blessed them. And that they would know this hope this sure and certain hope that they would know this glorious inheritance even in the difficult times, that they would have the assurance that they were His. Sometimes we can go through times of doubt, and we can go through times of despondency. There are times perhaps where we go through periods of what we might call hopelessness. Times when that can be hard in our lives. Times when we might question ourselves, but times also when we might question our faith. And where is God in all of this? We lose our job or are unsure of the future. We're facing a time of illness and the future seems bleak. We're stressed about an exam or about interviews, and it's all getting on top of us. What happens if I fail? What happens if the interview doesn't go well? We encounter the reality of death, and we wonder whether death really has been defeated. And in these times, as Paul prays for the Ephesians, we need to be reminded of the hope to which God has called us. We need to be reminded of the riches of His glorious inheritance that no one and nobody can take away. That we would know this in our heads, but also in our hearts. That in the nitty-gritty of life, in the messiness of life and death, that we have a living hope and a glorious inheritance. I want you to know God better. Get to know Him better. But I also want you to, in whatever's happening in your life, to have this living hope that you would know the glorious inheritance that is yours, whatever you're going through. Paul also prays that they would know the power of God for those who believe. So he talks in verse 18. I pray also that as your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know. And then he goes on. His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Times aren't there when we feel powerless. Things seem out of control. There are other powers at work and they seem to be in charge. And I suspect that the Ephesians felt a little bit powerless as well. Here they are, a small church in a world of uncertainty and of persecution. But then Paul comes along to them with these verses and he says, I pray that you would know God's power that is for you and with you. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. power that was present in that dark tomb when Jesus was laid there and then when he came back to life. The power that is signified in the fact that Jesus is no longer dead but alive, but more than that, he is placed on a throne in heaven, which is far above every other power. And he's far above all other rulers and authorities, powers and dominions. That's Paul's way of saying everything and everybody. And it includes Putin, and it includes Trump, and it includes any other leader you might think of. Not only in the present age, but in the age to come. And Paul does this, he explains this because he's wanting to explain to the Ephesians that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that brought life out of death, the same power that put Jesus on the throne above every other power and authority, he is above every power and authority. He's not a small God, but he's a big God, a God of power, a God of authority. That the same power was with them, weak as they felt, feeble as they seemed. The power of God for us who believe. Can imagine the Ephesians reading this, having it read to them, probably. Thinking to themselves, well, why? Why are we so worried? Why are we uncertain about things? We have this hope. Paul's prayed that we would have this hope. We have this inheritance in heaven. But more than that, Paul prays that we would know that the God's power is with us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that's signified by Jesus being on the throne over every other dominion, every authority. He's able to help us. He's able to work out his purposes. He's over all. And even though things seem to be out of control, even though there are things that are difficult, and even though there is suffering, I know that he is with me. I know that he's on the throne. I know that he's trustworthy, that he's dependable, and that he's the rock on which I can stand. In 2026, as we perhaps feel a bit weak and perhaps a little despondent and wonder how God can use me, as we think of the church in all of its weakness more broadly and the challenges that we face, as we watch the news, I wonder what's going to become of it all. Paul says, I pray that you will know the power of God for us who believe. He is trustworthy. He is dependable. He's above it all. Three things that he prays for. And may 2026 be a year when we get to know God better. Perhaps you don't, perhaps you barely know God at all, but you can get to know him better. Perhaps you feel that you know him pretty well, you've been a Christian for years, you get to know him better. But may also be a year in 2026 when we know the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Even when everything seems hopeless, that we find our hope in him. And when amidst our weakness and frailty and the uncertainty of the world, is a year when we know and depend upon the power of God for us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this prayer of Paul's. We seek to make it our own this morning. We pray that as Paul prayed, that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we might know you better. Draw us deeper into a relationship with you, that our faith would grow and our love for you would deepen. Open our eyes so that we might know the hope to which you have called us and the riches of our inheritance in Jesus Christ. When life is hard and we feel uncertain or afraid, remind of us who we are in him and the unshakable hope that we have. And help us to know your great power for us who believe. The power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power that placed him above all rules and rulers and authorities. When we feel weak, when we are weak, help us to depend on you and your strength, and to stand upon you, our rock. May this year be one when we know you more, trust you more, and live for your glory. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.